Good morning. Cliff's the only person excited to see me. All right. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm a guy that likes to dwell on things and think on things, and oftentimes I sit quiet on a lot of matters because it takes me weeks to think things through. But I love to reminisce and think back, and I'd be like remiss to not just sit and think about all of the people that have gone before me that made a way for me. And I know that Memorial Day specifically is for those that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom so that I can stand here and do that today. But also those spiritual forefathers that have gone before me and those in my family that have prayed me into the kingdom and made a way. And so I just like to think and memorialize, you know, those moments also. So don't let this weekend just be a great excuse to have a family get together and barbecue, but really think about the places that others have gone before you to make a way for you. Got something in my eyeball. I'm not crying, Jeff. All right, let's pray. Father God, I just so thankful for the opportunity to share what you've given me, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time of worship that we just got to experience where your presence fell in this place and we experienced you in a tangible ways, Father. Your presence is everything, and it's the only thing that matters in this building. And Lord, I don't want to go anywhere that your presence isn't going. So don't let me run ahead or lag behind, but just let every word that I speak be right on time and right in step with how you're moving today, Father. Just pray that you would anoint my voice and my body and my actions and just everything that happens today. We'll just give you glory, Jesus. Just thank you. Love you, Jesus. Amen. I was happy to see, before I get started, I saw the back of his head. But before y'all leave, make it a point to make my daughter feel awkward because she brought her boyfriend to church this morning. So welcome, Michael. I told him, he was over at the house the other day, and I was like, you know, your favorite preacher is speaking this Sunday, so I know where you should be. So you get a little couple brownie points in the Cato household, Michael. All right, so this message, the aroma of Jesus, many of you know, some of you probably don't, but I went through a little bit of a health scare a few weeks ago. After the last, not the last Heart of David, but the Heart of David that was in April, came, you know, that weekend, that Saturday, we ate dinner, and I just started to not feel very good. We'll get to scripture, I promise you. I know we won't have 2 weeks in a row where nobody reads any scripture, I promise. Sorry, Mark. Last week was awesome. Last week was amazing. Yeah, wow. But I'm going to take a minute to share a little testimony, all right? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit's in this and what he showed me in this is important for not only me, but for y'all. So April 25th, I ate dinner, was sitting at the house, and I started to not feel very good. So I went and laid down and fell asleep. Woke up later that evening about 10 p.m., so I'd slept for a couple few hours and needed a drink really bad. So I went up to my kitchen, and I passed out. I don't know how long I was out. I just remember looking at my phone on the couch when I woke up, and then I remember, you know, going through the process. So it was somewhere between 10 or 15 minutes that I was out on my kitchen floor, and everybody in my house was asleep. Or in bed, and they didn't hear nearly 300 pounds hit the floor. But I can imagine that it was eventful. It was like a sack of potatoes hitting the ground. But so I come to about 10 or 15 minutes later, and I went to the bedroom and got Bethany up, and I was like, "Look, babe, like you gotta take me to the hospital. Like something's not good. I don't feel good." So she takes me to the hospital, and we get there, check in, do our thing. I'm checking in on my app, and I had that overwhelming feeling that I was either going to be sick or I was going to hit the ground again. So I went back over to the check-in nurse, and I was just like, "Hey, I'm probably going to pass out." They got a wheelchair behind me, sat me down. The last thing I remember was them telling Beth to hold this ice pack on the back of my neck. And then I come later to find out that I went into shock and spent a few minutes in you know, unresponsive or whatever you want to call that. But I come to in an ER room with six or eight folks in blue swarming all around me. I mean, there was somebody sticking an IV in, and somebody ripped all my clothes off. Somebody sticking an IV in, somebody's putting a heart monitor on me. Some lady's trying to like talk to me to get a story, and I was like, I don't even know what the heck's going on. And but I'd watched with my wife enough Grey's Anatomy to understand that what was going on in the life of Bobby at that moment was no bueno. It was not good. But you know, I remember seeing at one point, I remember seeing Beth's face in the hallway, because she wasn't in the room. She was outside, you know, ER sliding glass door, whatever. She was outside of that, and I could see the look of terror on her face. And I was just like, this is serious. And I spent the better part of that night and into the next morning with my blood pressure sitting around like 70 over 40. My hemoglobin counts were super low. What turned out was I had a bunch of internal bleeding. And there was no, you know, signs of where it was coming from, but they were concerned more with getting me stable than they were with figuring out where I was bleeding from. So they started a couple of blood transfusions and gave me someone else's blood, which is weird to think about. But they did that, got me stable. Most of the night was fairly foggy. You know, I've never really felt that way. Like, you know, you lose like 2/3 of your body's blood. It's a weird feeling. Just take my word for it. Don't try it. But I remember in this three things. I remember that I was in absolute peace the entire time. Like I was never scared personally. Like I could look at Beth's face and I could understand that there was a lot of uncertainty in the situation. But she, we've talked about it since, but she even said like, we were cool. Like, and honestly, I complained about it. I was like, I was really close to getting to meet Jesus and they brought me back. Like, oh, we were right there. But I know that the Lord's not completely done with me yet. But, you know, all I remember in that moment was one thing, the look on her face, but both of us having absolute peace in the whole situation. I remember the second thing, and I asked her because I wasn't sure if this was, like, coming out of me audibly or if this was just something that was going on in my head because, like I said, I was pretty foggy with where I was at, you know, my conscious state and stuff. But I was singing on repeat, and that's why I asked Josh to do, "Lord, I Need You." I was singing over and over and over again, just, "Lord, I need you." You know, nothing else. I don't need anything else. I just need you to show up for me. And I remember in my hospital bed just singing, "Lord, I Need You," the lyrics to that chorus and that bridge and the second and third, first and second verse just over and over and over again. It seemed like hours had passed with me just singing that song. And I can't really verbalize to you just how intimate that was in that moment of like, I'm at the end of myself physically. And it's just like, Lord, like I, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's just like, I need you to show up and, you know, it's your will no matter what, but if we have another alternative here, let's try it. And then I remember a third thing, And this third thing is kind of like part A. We'll get to what part B was for the genesis of this message. But the third thing that I remember was this vision. And I knew that I was on the inside of me. And I saw Holy Spirit like cooking this stew. I just saw this big cooking pot. I told Beth, I was like, it was almost like a witch's cauldron, but I can't say that. So you'll have to edit that out. But it was like this really big cooking pot, you know, and I saw Holy Spirit just confidently just grabbing things off the shelf and adding things to this soup, this stew in the inside of me. And there was just a complete confidence in what he was doing, and everything was intentional, and he was just at peace and knew what he was doing. And then he locked eyes with me and just said, "Everything for your good, Bobby." And there was just a complete peace that settled in after that. That was sometime in that 8-hour delusional period of where I had no blood, but I was just, that, I think that was the genesis of the peace. Like, I saw that the Holy Spirit had complete control of everything in my life. And he was adding the things that needed to be added. And he was just cooking up this perfect storm or whatever was going on in the inside of me. And he had it. And just the confidence and the peace that he had resonated into my soul and my spirit. And it gave me peace and rest in the middle of that situation. So then we can fast forward. That was all Saturday night into Sunday. We met with the surgeon team on Sunday. They gave us an idea of what was going to happen, that they were going to shove a tube down my throat, go in. They knew exactly where it was coming from. You know, we're just going to go in and fix everything. So that gave us pretty good assurance of what was going to happen. But they weren't doing anything yet because my body needed some time to recover, so they needed to give me a little time to rest. So we were just sitting at the hospital, not doing anything. Monday morning, Pastor Shane came up to visit, and he just cut right to the chase. Like, he just sits down, and he asks me this question, and he just, it just cut right through to me. And this is the part B to the genesis of where this study came from. But he just looked at me and said, "How is your soul?" And that's a hard question to sit, especially when your body doesn't have any blood and you're lacking oxygen to your brain. Somebody asks you a hard question, you're just like, "I feel pretty good." I don't remember my response in that moment. But you know, I'd gone from this place of, like, nearly bleeding to death 36 hours prior to this to somebody asking me a hard question. And it took me, you know, this whole 3 weeks to kind of wrap my mind around that, because I felt like I was in a good space. But you know, I needed to reflect with the Holy Spirit on that a little bit and just see See what was going on. Maybe there was something, you know, what the reason for that question was and everything else. But to give that testimony a little bit of closure, clearly I'm alive. I'm here, which is great. They did that upper scope on Monday afternoon. I don't remember what day, honestly. They did that upper scope. And what they told me they were going to go in and fix, there was nothing wrong with me. And you know, I believe, yeah, the Lord is good. And I believe that, you know, like he hears our prayers and he's gracious to still heal and perform miracles. And I believe that's what happened. I mean, I went from bleeding to death on Saturday night into Sunday morning to where they did the upper scope, nothing in there. And then they decided to do a lower scope and there was nothing in there. So, yeah. Praise the Lord, there's nothing wrong with me. So that's the testimony to start with. I need my sweat towel, Mark. You told me it's not hot in here. It's hot in here. So, any rate, that was the genesis of this, right? So I went through a little health scare physically, and then the Holy Spirit was kind of like checking on me mentally. But you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, there's times that we run into people and they ask us these questions, but typically they're just questions that we ask out of habit, like, how are you doing? How's work? You know, how's the family? Like, not real deep questions. But then every now and then we get somebody like Pastor Shane who walks in the room and he asks you this multifaceted, you know, there's many layers to this type of a question. And it's really like this heaven-loaded question of just like, how is your soul? When we got discharged, me and Beth went, I wanted to go mushroom hunting. I spent 5 days in the hospital, the prime of mushroom hunting season. And so we went immediately to the Kessler's, and I went for a walk around in the woods. You know, kind of, I was kind of at this place like, yeah, I know what happened to me. I know I had the vision of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of me. And then I had this question from Shane asked of me, but I hadn't done anything with it, honestly, just trying to, like, get through and get out of the hospital because it's aggravating to be there. But we were at the Kessler house walking around, and I heard the Holy Spirit, like, screaming at me, may I have your attention, please? And then I knew, like, he's trying to show me something here. He's trying to teach me something here. And I have, you know, being Bobby and being, you know, slow to catch on that he's trying to speak something to me. And so he decided to scream at me. So I spent the next, you know, few weeks until basically this point, kind of diving into this, and that's kind of the intro to this, of where this came from, and then we'll just study through this real fast. We won't make it drag on, hopefully, but we'll get through it. But what the first thing that the Holy Spirit identified to me was, you know, I was in this place, and there was this pressure, right? There was, life was squeezing me. Something external was happening to Bobby. And what he told me was that pressure reveals our aroma. That when you squeeze an orange, you expect to get orange juice out of it. That but when you have a soul that is kind of tainted a little bit, when you squeeze that individual, sometimes you get things that don't look like Jesus. And we need to be willing to take that how is your soul question into the quiet place with the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things, because ultimately we will be squeezed. And how we respond and what comes out of us will impact everybody else's opinion of the Lord. Right? Yes. Very good. Yeah. So, like, when we hang out in these places, I had a couple of things kind of run through. When you're at a bonfire, right, and you go to a bonfire, you leave that bonfire, you carry with you on your clothes and in your hair the smell of the smoke from the campfire, right? And I can tell that you were at a campfire by the aroma that you bring with you. The other thing I thought about was this week was I was working down in East Liverpool somewhere, and farmer was spreading manure all over his field, and I carried with me, because it felt like it was burned into my nostrils, the aroma of manure. But the reality is that the atmosphere that we dwell in will linger with us, and then others will know where we've been by the scent that we carry. So through this, the Holy Spirit gave me three points, and we'll hit on these. Point number one is the condition of our soul determines our aroma. Number one, I'll say it because Aubrey yells at me because she didn't have time to write these down. You better be writing these down. Number one, the condition of your soul determines your aroma. Is she writing this down, Shane? No? Look, just because Michael's here doesn't mean you can't take notes. All right, the condition of your soul determines your aroma. And we cannot consistently release externally what we are not spending time intentionally cultivating internally. John 15, 4 and 5, in the Passion, Jesus says that you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. He is the source of all good things in your life. And you sever that, you cannot expect to have good things in your life. Simple, right? Luke 6:45, also in the Passion, Jesus says that people are known in this way, out of the virtue stored in their hearts, good and upright people will produce good fruit. Likewise, out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will produce what is evil. For out of the overflow of what is stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and will be heard in your words. So we either connected to the vine and we have power and people see the good that's stored in our heart, right? Or we live disconnected from the vine and we cannot really expect anything good to come out. I'm sure good things will happen, but we have an enemy that would love to camp you there without power, and people are just going to see the dead in your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So we said in point number one, the condition of our soul determines our aroma, and that we cannot consistently release externally what we're not cultivating internally. And Jesus tells us that we have to remain connected to the vine, because out of our heart flows the content of our innermost being. Out of our mouth, we will speak the words of what's cultivated on the inside of us, so that we must then pay attention to the welfare of our innermost being. Because fragrance is not something that we can manufacture in a moment. It's something that is formed, it goes without saying, it's something that's formed over time. You cannot simply go and just spritz on Ode to Jesus and carry with you the scent of Jesus and then wash it off after you leave here and then have an alter ego or an alter life Monday through Saturday. Rather, when we get together in these settings, what we're doing is we're just simply coming together and we're carrying in here what we've been saturating ourselves in all week. So then what flows out of you, what flows out of me, into what I will call our outer life, is just a reflection of the state of my inner life. And sure, I can fake that for a moment. And there's been seasons in my life where I have faked that for moments. But eventually, there's cracks, and the true state of your soul is bursting on the scene. And if you have a bitter soul, eventually bitterness will come out of you. You can only hide it for a little bit. If you carry with you an anxious spirit, or if your soul harbors anxiousness, then you will cause others around you to then be anxious, because we impact the reality of creation all around us. If I carry in me an angry or rage-filled soul, or harbor hate at all in my life, then when I walk into a room with that hate on the inside of me, then I automatically make a situation more tense. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody walks in the room and then you can immediately cut the tension? Yeah. I remember a time a handful of months ago, we were at men's prayer, and Pastor Shane pointed out that you know, Tim Annabelle comes faithfully. And you know, oftentimes Tim doesn't have a whole lot to say, but he pointed out that Tim carries with him this peace that is just so tangible. And when he's around, the whole room benefits from the peace that he carries, and the whole room is settled. Like if I come in anxious and Tim comes in full of peace, his peace overrides my anxiety. Because his peace is pointing to Jesus, and it washes out the anxiety inside of me, right? And then we can go further. We can go places because we are benefiting from the relationship that you have in your alone time. You bring it with you when we gather corporately, and then we can spur each other along, and these fruits on the inside of me can spur along the fruits on the inside of Lindsay and Cliff, and we can go somewhere because we are direct beneficiaries of the lives that others are investing with the Lord. I had this weird sitting there yesterday, getting this ready. I had this kind of weird vision with this, not vision, but just practical example, that who's ever walked by a refrigerator and you knew something died on the inside of that thing without even opening the door? And I just say that because that's a point of contention in my household. There's times when I've walked in the front door and it's like, oh man, that's something. No bueno in the inside of that. And that's how our soul works, right? Like, that's a practical example of you can harbor things on the inside. I can harbor things on the inside that might stink or a little spoiled for a moment while the door's shut. And then maybe every now and then you crack the door, like, whoa, there's something not right inside of Bobby. But over time, Scripture tells us that sin breeds sin and gives way to deeper and darker things, right? Over time, that darkness on the inside of me, if I don't deal with it, I don't hand it over to the Holy Spirit, and we don't sit down and we don't work on it together, over time, that's going to grow up on the inside of me. And eventually, this is going to be permeated by the stench that I thought I was hiding. And then you are going to see in me everything, because those cracks eventually let the pride creep out, and those cracks eventually let the hate creep out, and those cracks will eventually let the anger and the bitterness creep out. We cannot carry the aroma of Jesus while also injecting the toxicity of the world. Scripture tells us that a double-minded man is unstable. So the questions you have to ask are, what am I allowing my soul to soak in? What am I feeding my soul? One of the questions that the Holy Spirit had me reflecting on a lot was, when I'm inconvenienced or I'm under stress, what comes out of me? I am the aroma of Christ in this world. And people look at how I live my life. People look at how you live your life. They listen to your words, but how we live our lives, through that, they discern the fragrance of our spirit, and then they conclude whether Christ is actually genuinely living on the inside of us. So we can profess it all we want with our mouths, but if our lives are not reflecting Christ-likeness, we're just a clashing gong. That was number one. Number two, pressure reveals our aroma. Pressure reveals our aroma. James chapter 1 says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Romans 5, 3 and 5 says that we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10 says, now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And we are persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry with us the death of Jesus in our bodies, so that the life of Jesus may be on full display in my body. So the most interesting thing about fragrances is that the strongest aroma comes from crushing. Olives, when they're pressed, produce oil. And flowers, when they're pressed, we get fragrance and perfumes. So we should count it as all joy when we're in these seasons of crushing. Because we know then that the pureness of Jesus has an opportunity and an avenue to flow out of us. When we're crushed, it creates a avenue for the grace of Jesus to flow out of our lives. So pressure becomes this great revealer. That when life squeezes us, whatever is filling us is released. But it's under those pressures where our insecurities come to light, where pride and fear and all these things that we talked about can come out of us. Under pressure, those cracks can occur. And if there's anything we're harboring, it will come out. But it's also a great opportunity for Christ-likeness to pour out of us. In those seasons when life squeezes us, it's a great opportunity for the peace of the Holy Spirit to flow out of me and impact creation around me. Or it's an opportunity for me to have joy in a season of trying and have joy impact and change the reality around me. Most times, y'all know my testimony, so you know I've seen a thing or two. Most would look at those seasons of trying and pressing and everything that we go through and the pressure, and they would just assume that that ruins people. When in reality, it's an opportunity for us to work on the state of our soul so that we can then take what Holy Spirit's revealing to us back to Him and say, let's work this out. Let's work this out of me. Let's pull these tendencies out of me so that the next time something happens, I can respond like Jesus. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, which literally means oil press, he is facing the reality of the situation that's at hand, and he is literally being crushed by the weight, and he, in that moment, did not respond how I would have responded. I would have responded out of hate and anger and revenge and just tried to like fight my way out of this. But he, having spent so much time cultivating his relationship with the Father, was completely surrendered in that moment. He didn't fight his way out of it. He could have. He didn't call all of heaven's armies down. He could have. But he simply surrendered and said, Lord, if it's got to be, it's got to be. And that's how I want my life to be. Practically speaking, I want pressure in me to reveal spiritual maturity. I don't want the pressure to come and squeeze my life and then I lash out of my flesh. I want to work these things out of myself so that I can respond like Jesus, and I can just be like, you know what, Lord, no matter what happens, your will be done, not Bobby's. Point number three is that we are carriers of Christ's aroma. We are carriers of Christ's aroma. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the salt and the light of the earth, that others give glory to the Father by what they see in us. Second Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read this in two translations. I like it in both. I really like the way the Passion puts it, but it's very good in ESV. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." So thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in victory. And then through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we're a fragrance of death unto death, and to another we are the fragrance from life unto life. In the Passion, this says, God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the Anointed One to God, a perfume of life to those being saved, and the odor of death to those who are perishing. The unbelievers smell a deadly stench that leads to death, but believers smell the life-giving aroma that leads to an abundant life. So Paul tells us that God spreads the fragrance of Christ through us, that he's literally diffusing the aroma of Christ through my life into every place that I go, and through your life into every place that you go. So let that sink in a little bit. Like, we are literally spreading the aroma of heaven everywhere we go. I don't know. I like the thought of that. That wherever we go, we're leaving a spiritual impression, whether we say or do anything. Like, just us being present changes atmospheres. And when we leave our jobs, we leave and we have impressed there the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And we don't necessarily need to even go to that workplace anymore, but our presence has impacted and shifted and changed things in that workplace for the rest of its existence. You leave your home and a piece of you stays in that house, and your house is literally being shaped by heaven on the inside of you, because the presence of Jesus impacts everything in and around me. This says that some are attracted to the love and peace that we carry, but others are offended. And I think that offense is because the presence of Jesus convicts things in us when they're out of order. And we were in Open Door last week, where Pastor Jeff was talking a lot about this. We were focus on the word presence and what presence means to us. And there was a big season of my life where I avoided the presence of the Lord. And through this study, the Lord took me back to these different periods in my life and these different seasons in my life. And he showed me, had the squeeze happened that happened 3 weeks ago, how I would have responded. And really, I got to grieve how I would have responded 15 years ago, or how I would have responded 10 years ago, or how I would have responded, you know, 3 years ago. I got to grieve the heart posture that I used to carry. Because there was a time, and I'm not proud of it, but I avoided at all costs the presence of the Lord. I would make fun of my wife for going to church. I would make fun of my wife for going to these conferences because she wanted to be in the presence of the Lord and she was being impacted by the Holy Spirit. And I was afraid to go there because I knew the junk that I was hiding in my soul. And I walked into those situations and immediately got scared and everything on the inside of me would quake. Because when the presence of Jesus comes on the scene, nothing in my kingdom can stand. Everything in Bobby's kingdom has to bow to the King of Kings. But that is the hardest thing for our flesh to overcome. So I spent seasons of my life running from the presence of the Lord. And now looking back after going through this with the Holy Spirit, you know, to today, where me and my wife and my friend Perry, we all lead this ministry called Heart of David, where we literally just go after presence. We do nothing else but just hang out in the presence of the Holy Spirit and worship Jesus for who he is and invite him and his presence and his Holy Spirit into the places where we are. And we want nothing else. So it's fun for me to reminisce on these things sometimes and just get a really a healthy perspective of just how the Lord has worked and moved in my life, because it's not to puff me up or to put any eyes on me or say that I've arrived or I'm all that, because I am very far from that. You don't have to ask very many people to figure out how much junk I still have to deal with. But I have, through the grace of the Lord, been able to look back at these situations and these times in my life where I've avoided the presence. And it gives me a great appreciation today for the presence. Because his presence is everything. We are nothing if his presence doesn't come. And we are nothing. This message is nothing if it's not first full of his presence. So the question really begs, what sort of trail are we blazing? When I go places and I do things, what aroma am I carrying with me, and what lasting impact is left behind me? I shouldn't be doing things, and we shouldn't do things that aren't kingdom-minded, that are not changing things for the kingdom, or not conquering or advancing for the kingdom. We shouldn't be going through these, just going through the motions and not expecting any lasting impact. So in Corinthians chapter 2, Paul explains to us that we are the fragrance of Christ. And then we can jump ahead into chapter 5, where he goes on a little bit further. And he explains to us that the fragrance we carry is this message and ministry of reconciliation. And then he goes into what our responsibility is in that. And this is probably one of my favorite passages in Scripture, because I think it is one of the most important things that the Holy Spirit is given to us, is this ministry of reconciliation. So 2 Corinthians 5, starting at 11. Since we are those who stand in holy awe of the Lord, we make it our passion to persuade others to turn to him. We know that our lives are transparent before the God who knows us fully, and hope that we are also well known to your consciences. Again, we are not taking an opportunity to brag, but we're giving you information that will enable you to be proud of us and to answer those who esteem outward appearances while overlooking what is in the heart. If we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God, but if we are in our rightful minds, it is for your benefit. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly because we are convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means that all died with him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out to him, the one who died for us and now lives again. So from now on, we refuse to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance, for that's how we once viewed the anointed one. But no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded in Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us this ministry of reconciliation, reconciling others unto God. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us this ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors to the anointed one who carried this message of Christ into the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Arguably my favorite passage. There's so much in there. But the overarching theme is our lives are reconciling people back into the Father. Holy Spirit, it says nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, right? So Holy Spirit in me is reconciling creation back unto Jesus and unto the Father by my actions. So the aroma or the fragrance that I carry, if I carry with me the presence of heaven, then the presence of heaven without me doing anything else. It's not the presence of heaven and the presence of heaven through my life is reconciling creation back into the Father. Therefore, people should experience something different in my presence, right? When Christians are around, I think Pastor Jeff put it this way, when Christians are in the workplace, we should expect that workplace to thrive. I carry with me the kingdom of heaven wherever I go. I should expect, and others expect, something different when I walk in the room. So when we walk into broken situations, it's really this open door for Jesus to come in, for him to walk in and extend hope, because his presence gives us hope. When facing uncertainties or uncertain situations or challenging things, whether it's a health scare or you lose your job or whatever, if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you and you have this baptism of the Holy Spirit and he's at work and speaking in and through you, then when you find yourself in these places and you're surrendered and you're fully trusting in him, then and only then does the peace that surpasses all understanding arrive on the scene and you have rest in the middle of that storm. So Paul tells us that we carry with us both the presence and the message of Jesus. And then the outward expression of our lives then become the fruit of this intimacy that matures within us. And it may be the only encounter that some have with Jesus. See, the church was not meant... I don't know why Siri decided to want to listen to me. She must need saved. The church was never meant to merely exist and just come together as a gathering place where we just enjoy the presence for ourselves. I think oftentimes the capital C church gets a bad rep because we come together and everybody just views it as this special little club where we're hanging out and we're just coming together and enjoying the presence here, but the church is not impacting anything out there. Romans says that all of creation is groaning with eager expectation for us to be revealed, marked by his glory. So that becomes far more than the capital C church trying to convert you into a religion. It becomes far more than us just practicing that religion. It becomes a lot more than attendance. It becomes more than just checking the box on a Sunday or a Wednesday. It's more than plugging in on a Sunday morning and then living your disconnected life Monday through Saturday. This friendship with the living God, it's intentional. It requires intentionality. And we have to want to dwell in his presence until the aroma of heaven saturates every part of us. And then we carry with us the reality of the finished and redemptive work of the cross. It's that simple. Let's stand. So we can't become more fragrant by trying harder. The aroma is not something that we can work up. It's not something that we can fabricate. It's not something that we can just run up to Ulta and buy a bottle of and put on for Sunday mornings and then put on for Monday mornings and just carry that with us in your purse and just spray it on throughout the week. It's not that. The presence of Jesus is not something that we can work our way into. It's not something that we can muster up. It's not something that can be purchased. There are folks in Scripture that tried that. Doesn't work. But what I'm talking about, this aroma that comes out of us when we're squeezed, or this aroma that comes out of us when we are pressured by life, or just this aroma that we carry with us when nothing's going on everywhere we go, is just something that we absorb in the quiet place. So I want you to take this question that Pastor Shane asked me, and I want you to take it home with you. I want you to sit with the Holy Spirit on it, because I really feel like it was one of those things that's just very multi-layered. And maybe you're in such a great, great place that there's nothing you need to work on. I doubt it. Maybe Gary Sloan. But sit with the Lord and ask him, how is my soul? How is my soul? And take what he shows you and ask him to work these things out with you. He's good and he's gracious. He's not gonna come at you and make you feel like a big idiot. I'll do that. But he's better than I am. If you're in here today and you don't even know who this Jesus is that I'm talking about, my prayer is that you won't leave here without first surrendering your life to the Lord. I don't want you to leave here the same way that you came in. I prayed a lot into this morning that anybody that comes in here that doesn't know this Jesus, that is not filled with this Holy Spirit, would not leave here the same. That they would encounter and have an experience with Jesus, because Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the light, the life. And nobody else is getting to the Father without Jesus. Sounds harsh. There's one way. There's one door. And that door is through Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you need him. Because quite literally, your soul will perish for eternity without Jesus. Without accepting him as your Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity in agony. So really, this week, let's take a personal inventory, kick the tires, as I like to say. Let's sit with the Lord, ask him to reveal to us anything that's living on the inside of us, anything we're carrying in our spirit or our soul that would not bring him glory should the squeezing come, because that's when it rears its head. Our aroma is released when the pressure happens. And when life squeezes or when it hits the fan, we want to respond with Jesus. And that only happens as we sit and devote time and with him. So let's pray. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just wash over everybody in here and just cleanse our souls, Jesus. Just it's literally all about your blood. So we just plead the blood of Jesus over everybody in here and every situation in here. We just pray that the blood of Jesus would just wash over everybody. Cleanse their souls, cleanse their minds, cleanse their spirits. Just wash off all of the dirt and the junk. Break the shackles and the chains. And we just declare freedom, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in this place. Reveal to us, Holy Spirit, anything that we need to hand over to you, or any area of our life that we haven't surrendered to you. Anything living on the inside of us where we've allowed space that doesn't deserve. We just pray, Lord, today that you would just come in and open that door and just clean that out of us supernaturally even. We just pray over everybody this week, Lord, that as they sit with this, how is my soul question, Lord, that as you reveal things to our spirit, that there would be a willingness in us, Father, that where we would want to work with the Holy Spirit, partner with the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. Just pray, Father, that as everybody goes about their week in here, that they would just recognize that they are diffusers of your presence, that everywhere they go, everywhere they tread, they're conquering ground for your kingdom, and they are releasing the presence of the kingdom of God in all situations. And that we would carry with us the realization that all of creation is waiting for us to reveal the glory of the Lord, and that we would live our lives in such a manner that brings you glory, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this word. And I just pray the Holy Spirit to you would just go and do what you need to do with it. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we give you all the glory. Amen. If you need prayer for anything specific, our prayer team will be up here. But let's just worship the Lord a little bit together.